Next on BYU SN, will BYU football be ranked at any point this season? Will they finish in the top half of the Big 12? We're going to discuss how these hot takes are, just how hot they are on one of the hottest days of the year. David Nixon going to join the program and discuss how many wins he sees in store for the Cougars and when he'd like to see a starting quarterback named as fall camp starts a week from tomorrow. A new Arizona head coach, Brent Brennan, previews the Wildcats' first season in the Big 12 and looks ahead to the October showdown at Lavelle Edwards Stadium against BYU. And is Taysom Hill an NFL Hall of Famer? Well, wait until you hear what one of his NFL teammates says about that. That is all ahead here on BYU Sports Nation. It is Monday, July 22nd. I'm Dave McCann. Spencer Linton going to hop in just a second. Welcome to BYU SN, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. As mentioned, fall camp starts a week from tomorrow when the Cougars report. That's July 30th. And then the season, of course, beginning next month, August 31st, at Lavelle Edwards Stadium against Southern Illinois. We got all kinds of things to talk about today, including some hot takes on some big issues. We thought, hey, it's been a really hot day. This is a good day for hot takes. Arizona's new head coach has got a challenge ahead of him. He's got a lot of talent back on his roster, but he's got a tough schedule that is going to bring him to Provo and take on BYU. We caught up with the coach in Las Vegas. Let's hear from him here on BYU SN.
Joining us now is one of the other brand new football coaches to the Big 12. He is Brent Brennan, who was at San Jose State. Now he's at Arizona. Coach, glad to have you in the Big 12. The four corners. Why not make the conference a little bit different every year, huh?
It's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting to be in this thing, and what a great day this has been.
You were just telling us you have a unique relationship and history with Kalani Sitake. And so I'd like BYU fans to know more about this, because you said jokingly, can we do this interview together? We'll make that happen at some point. But where did you first cross paths with Kalani, and why are you so close with him?
We were both younger coaches. Kalani's younger than I am, but in the Pac-12 at the same time. And so he was coaching at Utah, and I was at Oregon State. And so we, you know, started up a friendship. We were connected by, I forget who, maybe Joe Siamalo. And then, you know, that just kind of stayed in touch over the years. Then all of a sudden we found ourselves both on the staff with Gary Anderson at Oregon State. And I was a holdover from the previous staff. And then Kalani was coming from Utah. So we didn't know those guys. So we ended up spending a lot of time together, our families. We lived in the same neighborhood. You know, we have a lot of really cool history.
That's awesome. Coach, some of the coaches that we've previously talked to have that are new time coaches to the league and also to the team that they're currently with have come in and really kind of had to revamp a program. I would say that you're maybe in a bit of a different, unique spot, given the fact that, I mean, you got one of the what is considered by some people one of the probably the most powerful or explosive offenses in the conference, or expected to be, right, with Noah Fifita, the guys on the edges. Is there anything when you came in that maybe caught you by surprise as you made the transition?
No, I think it's the biggest thing, like the fun, big differences in football. That, like, last time I became a head coach, there was no NIL, there was no transfer portal. And then when this one, and I was taking over a team that had not had a ton of success, where now, you know, we're in the situation where we have portal, NIL, and the team was successful a year ago. So people are actively trying to recruit our players, you know, and so it was a much different time that way. And that was the biggest kind of challenge and biggest difference this time around.
Mm, how were you able to hold on to that core? What was the secret sauce? Because it worked.
It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with those players. I think they'd been through the fire together. They'd been through some early seasons, you know, where they struggled and didn't have success, and then they had the great season together, and then the coaching staff left, and that was another struggle, and so they were kind of galvanized through that process, and I think that led to them all being extremely connected, and they wanted to move forward together, which I thought was just really cool, because, like, no one's making that decision right now in college football, right? Everyone's choosing situation or money or whatever it is, but those guys were so connected, they chose each other. It makes it pretty special.
You're in the Big 12 Conference. Is there what do you anticipate in style of play, especially from the defensive side of the ball, now being in this new conference, having had a history typically in the Pac-12 and Mountain West?
You know, it's funny. I talked about this a little bit when I was on stage a while ago, but all the decisions you make, like schematically or whatever in the summertime, they're like never worth it. Because you get, like, we don't play a conference game for four weeks, you know. So, because our game against Kansas State is a non-conference game.
Which
right?
is so strange.
Which is just crazy, yeah. But, yeah, so, like, by then you're going to have four games to break, which, like, normally you're working off a 4 to 6 game breakdown anyway. So, a lot of those determinations will make then. Like, you do preliminary scouting reports and all that stuff, but I just know, as an assistant coach, I was always like, why are we doing this? It's not it's not relevant. We're going to play 3 games, and then all of a sudden we're going to get the real stuff and have to go through this stuff all again. And then also now, like, rosters change so much with the portal that, you know, people are changing over 30, 40, 60% of their roster every year. So that person that you watch film of this spring from BYU or Texas Tech, all of a sudden, he's playing somewhere else, and you're like, oh, that was a problem. Right. It's not a problem anymore, you know. So,
what's been the biggest challenge that you have encountered since you took over at Arizona from day one to where you sit today?
I would say the NIL thing. It's so we didn't have to deal with that at San Jose. We just didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now you're competing against current roster. So our roster, because of the head coaching change, we had 3 portals this year instead of 2. Right. So that was like a way different, you know, so we had 2 portals in the second semester of the school year, you know what I mean? Which is crazy. And then a lot of those things are just being decided by which collective can give kids the most money. So it's really hard. And I think for people, I know Kalani's this way, the people that I know, you know, we're built this way, that are going to be about development of young people and building a team and building a roster over time. I think that new component makes that challenging.
Is there one player in particular that maybe the country doesn't know about, the conference doesn't know about, that you're excited about?
I mean, I'd say there's a handful of players. I think people are going to be excited to watch a lot of guys on that defensive line. I think there's going to be some surprising players there, and we're excited for them to get going.
As you look back on your head coaching career, I'm always fascinated by the different mentors that head coaches have, that they're like, man, I have a little bit of him in me and this situation in me. Who were some of your most influential figures that have pushed you into the coach psychology and the way that you approach the game today?
I'd say the biggest one is Coach Tomey, which is cool because he was like super close with Coach Edwards, right? Like,
yes.
That was one of his best friends. And so, but he was a guy, he's the one guy in this profession that I literally think of every single day, which I think is, you know, from anything like what would Coach Tomey do to Coach Tomey would kill me for what I just did, you know. But he's definitely that guy for me. And it's cool to be back in Tucson because his wife lives there. And so we get to see her every now and then, which is really, really fun. And his son is in the state, so we're still connected. But he would be that guy for me. There are others. Mike Riley was great. Gary Anderson, Mike McIntyre, Rich Ellerson. Like, I was lucky to work for a lot of good head coaches. And, and now being in this role, you do draw from all the stuff they taught you over time.
Very nice.
Picked to finish 5th in the Big 12, but you're one of 5 teams that got a first place vote. Like, the parity and just like the uncertainty of who's actually going to be good, we don't know. How do you attack that angle? Because people do expect you to be good, but still it's like, yeah, well, there are 4 other teams that got a first place vote too.
I think the conference is a monster. I really do. I think top to bottom, there's more teams that are hard to beat. And I think that's the one thing that's kind of getting lost in the conversation with the dissolving of the Pac-12 and y'all joining a year ago, and then now here, you know, the four-corner schools come. Because I've played at your place. I know what that feels like. I've played at Utah. I know what that feels like. You know, I mean, and then all the new venues. So I think it's going to be one of those deals where, like, anyone can win at any time. And that's going to be fun for the fan and stressful for the ball coaches.
Yeah. So the furthest you guys are traveling this year is to
Florida.
Central
Florida.
Does that change the game day prep the week heading into it? Are you guys already taking, you know, different courses of action to kind of prep for those games?
You know, I think I have a little bit of experience with this because in the Mountain West, you had to go to Hawaii every other year.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like you're going basically across the country for that and dealing with a similar climate. So, you know, I think, you know, we'll try and leave an extra day early just so you can kind of get acclimated a little bit. But some people like to go the day before because they're just like, no, forget it. We're just going to go in. We're going to play the game and get out.
Yeah.
So the travel, that part of it, there's going to be a natural learning to that process. You know, just what is it going to be like? What's game day like at this place or this place? I know what it's like at your place.
Coach Brennan, great to talk with you. We appreciate you taking some time for us on BYU Sports Nation.
Stopping by.
No problem.
We look forward to seeing Coach Brennan at our place in October. If you missed any of our Big 12 Media Day interviews with players and coaches, they're just waiting for you on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page. Coming up, will Cougar football be ranked at any point this season? Will they finish in the top half of the Big 12? Spencer and I will discuss these hot takes on this hot day as BYU Sports Nation continues after this.
Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
EA Sports College Football is coming back, baby.
College football is such a different animal. I think it'll be difficult to find specific parts of the LES experience that are not depicted in this game.
EA Sports, it's in the game.
We are live in Studio B. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside the fabulous Dave McCann. We already had our head coach interview, Brent Brennan from Arizona. The Wildcats visit Provo in mid-October. It's time now for What's Trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. And Dave, this is the time of the year where not only is the weather hot, as you referenced at the end of our first segment.
It's dang hot.
But a lot of people are making hot takes. Experts, publications, fans, they all have spicy takes that they want to offer up.
Feels like we should offer ours. Feels like we'd fit right in with some takes.
Yes, we're going to do that. In fact, we're going to take some that we have heard, some that we've conjured up on our own to present, and we'll discuss, is this a hot take or not? Feel free to chime in along with us on social media.
So these are some tough ones, too.
I know.
So participate with us at home.
Like when we were discussing these with our producer, Colton Potter, on the phone call, I was kind of fidgeting in my chair like,
is that a hot take?
It makes me a little uncomfortable.
All right.
Let's start with this one, Dave. BYU football will go 3-0 in non-conference play. So they'll beat SMU, Wyoming, and Southern Illinois. Is this a hot take or not?
I want to go with a lukewarm, but I don't think we can introduce a lukewarm temperature into that. If they're going to be one of the big boys, these are games you have to win. You've got to start 3-0, and I think you'll see that theme through the rest of these hot take questions. SMU's got me nervous. Wyoming's always a challenge, or at least it has been. But if you're going to be one of the big boys in the Big 12, you go beat those three, and you start 3-0, and then you turn around and face Kansas State, who's one of the big boys of the Big 12. So you got to go 3-0. I think that's realistic.
So I'm a little bit...
But challenging.
Yes, I'm a little bit inclined to believe this is further up the Fahrenheit scale than most BYU fans want to realize, because BYU has to play two road games. Yeah. If you gave me one of those teams, specifically SMU or Wyoming in Provo, then I would be like, nah, it's not a hot take. But because both of those games at SMU and at Wyoming are in Dallas and in Laramie, that makes me feel like that's probably warmer than most blue goggle BYU fans want to realize. Well, we'll find out what BYU is against Southern Illinois, Dave. Like, I'm interested to revisit this question after BYU plays Southern Illinois. Like, how do you feel about BYU going 3-0 now if they struggle a little bit in that opener? So this is like an 85 degree take for me. It's not hot, but it's warmer than most people think.
Our post game show on August 31st. It's going to be very interesting because we will have seen 3.5 hours of what everyone expects to be a renewed and recharged BYU football team.
If you tell me BYU is going to start 4-0, then I'd be like, oh, that's hot.
That would be.
That's hot. But 3-0, it's warm, not hot.
Here's one for you. BYU will have a winning record at home this season. Is this a hot take or not?
Ooh.
Now let's look at the home slate.
Let's do it.
And let us know, how do you feel?
There's only one, I feel, maybe two. Okay, I'll give two. Two wins that I believe BYU should pick up on the home schedule, and they bookend it. Southern Illinois on August 31st, and then Houston to close out the regular season on November 30th. The middle four are teams that all received first-place votes in the Big 12 preseason poll. Kansas State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, and Kansas. Whoa.
If home field advantage gives you a touchdown, let's just say, and that might be a lot.
Even if it gave you three points.
If it gives you 3 points or a touchdown, you know.
Oh, a winning record. Can BYU win two of those middle four and then take care of Southern Illinois and Houston? Man, yes. I don't think that's hot. In fact, if BYU wants to be bowl eligible, Dave, I feel like, or certainly if they want to win seven games, if BYU has any hope of winning seven regular season games, they have to take advantage of home field advantage and have a winning record. I don't think this is hot. It's a little aggressive, but I don't think it's hot.
No, I don't either. You got tough games, but you got them at home. And every team, no matter who it is, every team would rather play somebody at home. And so you just happen to have these guys. I like here at Southern Illinois and Houston. I like BYU against Oklahoma State because I go back to last year in Stillwater, and Oklahoma State's playing for everything. And BYU's up 24-6 at halftime against their star quarterback and against their star running back. And they crumbled and lost in the second overtime.
Yes.
Right? So those three, I think, are home. And then you're looking and you go, well, can they pick off one of Kansas State or Kansas or Arizona? One of those three. And then they've got their winning record at home. And that seems doable because home field means something.
Yes. Like, if we're saying that going 4-2 in Provo is a hot take for BYU, that's quite the indictment on the state of the program and the lack of confidence there. I don't think that's hot. BYU is good enough to take advantage of their home field and go 4-2.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it rolling. BYU will be ranked at some point this season. Is this a hot take or not? In the top 25.
That's pretty hot. It's possible, but hot. And the reason being, if we go back to our first hot assessment, if they go 3-0, 3-0 is a key. That's your foundation. Mm-hmm. If you go 3-0, then I think they will be ranked at some point in the season.
Okay.
Because now it's, let's say you go 3-0 and you upset Kansas State at home, you're ranked. That's the first game coming out of those three. You get beat by Kansas State, like basketball, no harm done. They're picked a challenge for the league title. But then there's some others along the way. Even think back to last year, going into this Texas game, the Cougs were, what, 5-1?
Mm.
A win over
Texas. 5-2.
5-2. A win over Texas puts them in the top 25.
Which is crazy to think about.
But 5-2 going into that game was significant because they were on the cusp of getting ranked. And Slovis got hurt and they didn't win again. But you got to have that base, and they got the base last year, especially winning at Arkansas. Mm. You get that early base, and then you've got to surprise some folks. And BYU has teams coming into Provo who will be ranked where they are in a position to surprise. So, possible, yes. Hot, pretty hot.
Yeah, this is a hot take. This isn't 118 degrees in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago at Big 12 Media Days hot, but it's triple digits.
Or for 20 years.
Yeah.
It was 118 for 20
years.
You're
a man who can appreciate what that Vegas heat is like.
Exactly.
It's triple digits, but it's not melt your face off hot. The key for BYU, I feel like the most likely spot for BYU to be ranked this season. Yes, they have to start 3-0 non-comp. They probably got to get to 4-1 because that means they have either gone 4-0 or they lose to Kansas State and then they go on the road and they beat Baylor on the road.
Right.
And if you beat if you win at SMU and at Baylor, okay, now your only loss is to Kansas State, who is a team that a lot of people think are going to win the Big 12.
And they might be up in the top 15.
4-1. Could get BYU ranked, but that's still a hot take.
That's a hot take.
If BYU's they're so far down people's expectations list from a national standpoint that they would have to do something really significant to get nationally ranked in the top 25.
That'd be an inferno take down at Caesar's Palace. All right, because it can't be because the Mirage is closed. There's no volcano anymore. You'd have to go next door. BYU, here's one. BYU will have the same starting quarterback for all 12 games this season. God. Is this a hot take? We don't even know who it's going to be today.
Yeah.
But will they have the same one the whole season?
That's a super hot take. This is the hottest take of all.
That's hot.
Because of a couple of things. One, the history of this. It has just not happened very often at all. In the last, let's say, 14, 15 years, BYU's had two quarterbacks start every game, including a bowl game, for the whole season. It happened in 2013. Taysom Hill did it when BYU went 8-5, which is wild because, I mean, and he got beat up,
yeah,
but he was a
he
warrior.
Ran every other play.
He was a warrior. Zach Wilson in that COVID-modified season in 2020 also started every game and the bowl game. Outside of that, Dave, it hasn't happened. No. There have been injuries, and then there have been quarterback switches because of style of play, and frankly, some quarterbacks were just not good enough, so there were switches made mid-season. I think this is the hottest take we've had, especially because there's a quarterback battle. That's the other element here.
Yeah.
Like, there might be a scenario where Aaron Rodgers is like, I just like Gary Bohannon better against this style of team.
Yeah.
Or somebody gets hurt. Or Jake Retzlaff is, he's played well in practice and Gary hasn't played well. Gary doesn't look the same. Like, let's make a quarterback switch. I think there's going to be some type of mix-up at some point. It's not going to happen this year.
College football today, everybody gets hurt. So rarely do you find a team that has a kid who starts the whole season. So you got to have one. Sometimes you need two.
Sometimes you need three.
Or three. And so, you know, would be less than hot to think that that's not going to happen again. They're not tackling softer. You know, they're not hitting lighter. It's a freight train every Saturday, especially once you get into league play. And the littlest things. I mean, Keaton Slovis, as many hits as he got, went out because of his elbow. So, you know, you got to have a bunch. And so, yeah.
Even in 2022, I know Jaren Hall started every regular season game, but he got hurt against Stanford. Yeah. And he was banged up midseason. He was not himself against Notre Dame.
Didn't play in the bowl game.
No, he didn't play in the bowl game. Taysom Hill, his senior year, he started every regular season game, got hurt against Utah State. Again, go figure.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the course of what happened whenever he took on the Aggies. But he didn't start the bowl game either. Tanner Mangum did. It just does not happen. It's crazy.
No, so, yeah.
We're going to see a few, yeah. All right, BYU. We'll finish in the top half of the Big 12. So, eighth place or better in a 16-team, now expanded conference. BYU was picked to finish 13th by the coaches in the preseason poll. So, are the Cougars going to jump at least five spots by the time the final standings come out? Is this a hot take or not?
Well, so we don't contradict ourselves, we've got them going 3-0 to start and having a winning season at home. And that makes them, what, 6-2?
Seven, okay.
Right?
So, well, the non-conference includes one home, includes one home game, Southern Illinois. So they would have to win at least three Big 12 games to have a winning record at home and Southern Illinois.
So if they're going to do that, then yes, they're going to finish in the upper half.
Oh, okay.
You go 4-2 against those teams at home, the non-conference games don't count in conference, but as far as your record overall and how they're playing on the course of the season, you go 4-2 at home, you're going to pick off a game at Sun Devil Stadium, the Mountain America Stadium now. You're going to pick off a couple. I like that, but it's going to be tough to go 4-2 at home. So is it a hot take? It's another doable take that they could finish in the upper half. Here's where they finished last year.
12th place.
12th place.
Technically, it was tied for 11th.
Crazy. Their best games were against two of the top three teams in the league, and they beat Baylor down there and Cincinnati. Did they play Baylor last year?
No, they played Baylor. So that was two years ago. BYU beat Cincinnati and Texas Tech. So they beat the seventh place team and the last place team.
So we're asking ourselves, can they finish
5-4? It's going to take 5-4 in nine league games to finish in the top eight. And it'll probably be a tie. It'll probably be like a group of teams that all finish 5-4 and you're tied for eighth or something like that.
It's easy to say no, they're not going to finish in the top eight. But then when you look at it, you look at the home slate, you see the possibilities there.
Mm.
But for every team, it's going to require health. It's going to require some luck.
Yes.
And it's going to require defending your home field.
I'm still leaning hot on that. I'm still leaning on the hot side of that because BYU went 2-7 last year. You're asking the Cougars to make at least a three-game jump in a now what we believe is more balanced and tougher conference. And they have one of the toughest schedules in the conference. it's the fifth toughest of the 16 teams. So
can they make the three-game jump playing the four new teams?
Man. Well, that Arizona and Arizona State and Utah factor, they don't play Colorado, but oh man, I still think I'm leaning hot on that side. If BYU goes 4-5 in league play and they win two non-conference games, you're 6-6.
Yeah, going to a bowl game and moving forward.
You could still have a losing record in conference if you go 3-0 in non-con and win seven regular season games, but that to me still feels hot.
Yeah.
Because of where the expectations are. Doesn't mean they can't do it. But that's asking a lot.
You know what makes that debate tougher? And we talked about it last time that we were together here. Is if you can win six games, why can't you win seven? If you're good enough to win six, then is the gulf so great that you can't win seven? And if you get to seven, which team's going to prevent you from getting to eight? You know, when you think about it that way, you're like, okay, if you're just terrible, then they're all going to beat you. But when you start picking them off and going, well, then this – well, if you can beat Arizona, why can't you beat Kansas?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you go, well, then you've got a blue goggle forecast. But in the reality of it all, week by week, if you're 3-0 going into Kansas State at home, why can't you beat Kansas State?
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you just take it.
It is a fascinating thing, and I know you've crossed paths with Colin Cowherd of Fox Sports a few times, and he had his stint in Vegas, and Colin's a great guy. He does something with the NFL teams where he gives like a three-game window. If he were doing that with BYU, he would give them the window of probably 4-7 wins, like 4 being the worst, 7 being the realistic best-case scenario.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. 8 wins, now we're getting to that piping hot category. That's where we are.
Let's cap our hot segment with another one.
Yes.
This is going to go next level here because this is just out this morning. John Rothstein has BYU men's basketball ninth.
Basketball.
In his Big 12 preseason power rankings, 9 of 16. Is this a hot take or not?
Ninth? He has BYU ninth in his Big 12 power rankings.
Yeah. We're going to show you the rankings here.
Okay, a couple of immediate reactions to this. The Big 12 is so unbelievably difficult that I can understand why BYU would be number 9, but they're not on the first page, and they've put together the best recruiting class in program history.
I know it.
Ninth? So Big 12 is super good, but
there's a lot of wiggle room after 5.
Yes.
He's got Arizona 5th.
6 through 9, it feels like could be all interchangeable.
That could just be one good weekend.
Like, can BYU be finished better than Cincinnati, Texas Tech, and Kansas State? Yes. Ninth. That feels a little hot to me to have BYU that low. I kind of like it though, because we haven't heard a lot of like, BYU will be good, but they're gonna be ninth best in the Big 12. I think BYU is up around the 6th or 7th best team in the Big 12.
Here's what no one ever said, ever. That BYU would have a better record in Kansas than the Big 12 last year. And they finished higher than Kansas. They beat Kansas in Kansas. So because that happened, I think you've got to throw out everything and go,
okay,
9, as the window of 6 to 9 is as 6 is as legit as 9. And maybe even a little better than that, depending. If you go undefeated on the Marriott Center floor, at least you hold your own here, and you're good. Maybe you can get 5.
Rothstein told us that BYU might be a preseason top 25 team, and he's got them 9th in the conference.
That's probably accurate.
That's how good the conference
is. It'll be the top 9 teams.
Our question of the day. Hey, we've been talking about hot takes. What is your take on BYU football specifically that most consider hot, but you don't? I like this topic.
You got to think this one through.
At CJ Real Hoops 1 on X says, the results relative to the preseason expectations will be very similar to what we saw from the 2023-2024 basketball team. So he's saying expect BYU football, who was picked to finish 13th, like BYU basketball was picked to finish 13th last year, will make a significant jump. That is his hot take. Is BYU going to finish 5th, though? BYU football finishes 5th. Now they're 6-3.
Yeah.
That's hot.
That's hot take. I've had some hot nights over at LES at BYU's taking 5th.
Cool that down. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Paris Olympics start Friday, if you can believe that. We are that deep into July. Join us Pioneer Day Wednesday for BYU Sports Nation Olympic Preview. Interviews with our Olympians Wednesday at high noon Eastern time here on BYU TV and on BYU Radio.
After the break, is Taysom Hill a Hall of Famer? We're asking it again. And is there anything Puka Nacua can do this season to catch Fred Warner as BYU's best current NFL player? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Happy Monday. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. Time now to roll out our daily trivia question in celebration of 100 years of BYU football. So we throw it to our producer, Colton Potter, who has prepared something that I'm sure will make us all feel really, really dumb. Colton, what's the trivia question today?
All right, today's question. In 1991, Ty Detmer threw a 97-yard touchdown pass against Utah, the longest in program history. Who caught the pass?
I think I know this. It's Eric Drage.
Eric Drage.
Am I right? Are we right?
You are right. It is Eric Drage.
That's a good start.
Eric Drage!
Now, the amazing thing about that play is he's not the fastest guy, but Ty hit him and no one caught him. And he goes, here he is, right here. On the rollout to the right, and then he's just out running a, I think 42 might have been a linebacker.
No, so that's a safety.
Is that a safety? We're 42?
I believe that's an NFL safety for Utah at the time.
Well, he had once he caught that thing, he had 10 yards, 97 yards.
Yeah.
But was that the day we put 70 on the board?
That was 89, right?
So 70 might have been, because they lost up in Salt Lake and then came down here
in 88.
And put 70 on the
yeah,
board.
Yeah, Scott Mitchell.
So, like 49 to nothing.
So that was Ty Detmer senior. In his sophomore season, BYU put up 70 and 89. That was a 48-17 win.
I think we were announcing that game, and it was 49-0 in the second quarter.
In 89.
Okay. This is great. I'm glad we studied the fourth string on this thing.
Yeah, shout out to Eric Drake.
97 yards. That's great.
Let's get to today's headline, shall we?
2024 Paris Olympics are just about here. Opening ceremony Friday. BYU has 9 current or former athletes who will be competing, 8 representing the United States, 1 Canada, Jimmer Fredette, 3-on-3 basketball, Kenneth Rooks, the steeplechase, James Corrigan, steeplechase, Courtney Weymouth, the steeplechase.
Steeple U here at BYU.
Yeah, Whitney Orton, Morgan, 5,000 meter, Connor Mance, a marathon, Clayton Young, the marathon, Rory Linkletter, the marathon for Canada, and Stephanie Rivetti, former BYU hoops player, and the rugby sevens.
Super cool.
So we've got all those reasons to dial into these Olympics and see what they can do.
The Elite Nine from BYU. CBS Sports' John Rothstein releasing his preseason Big 12 power rankings earlier this morning has BYU men's basketball 9th out of the 16 teams. 9th. Rothstein also had BYU's Yegor Demon and Cannon Catchings among his top impact freshmen and Mawit Mag and Kebiketa among his under-the-radar transfers.
If you finish 9th, what's your seed in the big dance?
In this conference, it might be a 7th seed. No kidding.
Yeah. I think everyone would be happy.
They're that good.
Daniel Schneeman played in 3 games for the Guardians over the weekend. A couple of starts at shortstop, one at third base, and an RBI double in Friday's 7-0 win over the Padres. By the way, the Guardians are a half game back of Baltimore for the best record in the American League.
Doing work for a great team. Cougars in the minor leagues now. Jackson Clough went 1-for-1 with a double and 3 walks for the Rochester Red Wings in AAA on Saturday. Mike Rucker pitched a scoreless inning, struck out 2 batters for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs as he continues his rehab assignment for the Phillies.
Good to have him back, finally healthy.
Yes.
And pitching for the Iron Pigs.
Justin Sterner pitched an inning, gave up 1 run, struck out 1 batter for the Durham Bulls yesterday. And Andrew Pintar has 2 singles, scored 3 runs for the Amarillo Sod Poodles in AA over the weekend.
We have a Sod Poodle and an Iron Pig reference here. Gotta love baseball. Patrick Fishburne took 3rd at the Barracuda Championships yesterday, won $276,000, his highest finish in his young PGA Tour career. So congratulations.
Well done, P. Fish. BYU Women's Tennis announcing the hiring of Anastasia Hayden as an assistant coach. Hayden, formerly Anastasia Sirkova, played at BYU from 2004 to 2009, where she totaled 91 career singles wins, which is the 3rd most in program history. Welcome to the tennis program again. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Start us off, Dave.
Last week on the Pardon My Take podcast, Saints quarterback Derek Carr talked about Taysom Hill. He said, quote, he's the best football player I've ever played with.
Whoa.
And that he's a Hall of Famer. Is this a hot take or not?
This is not a hot take. We're talking about a man who has thrown 10 touchdown passes at least. He has caught at least 10 touchdown passes. And he has rushed for at least 10 touchdowns. And he's blocked the punt, for crying out loud. And he's returned kicks. So Taysom Hill is such a unique player. And he's, I believe it's, he's the first since Frank Gifford to do what I just brought up, where the 10 touchdowns passing, running, or throwing. Like, that hasn't happened since the 50s or the 60s. Like, this is not a hot take. I think he's so unique and he's been so good at it that he very well could find his way into the Hall of Fame.
I think he will, as a unique Hall of Famer, not as an all-time rusher, not as all-time passer, not as an all-time kickoff returner or whatever, but as a, in a unique spot because he brings this uniqueness to the game. He's changed the game. Every team's looking for a Taysom Hill. He's practicing at fullback, which should be a new position. Why not? And then he's going to pad those stats that you mentioned in all of those categories.
He doesn't have a position associated with his name. It just says Taysom Hill football player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's and more power to him. More power to him.
All right. How about this question? This is based on a recent picture of Patty Mahomes in his Texas Tech uniform when he played quarterback for the Red Raiders. The question is, who's the best current NFL player that went to your favorite school? So, what kind of performance? It's Fred Warner right now, Dave. It's clearly Fred Warner for BYU.
Sure.
Best linebacker in the game has been considered as such, at least top three linebacker for the last 5 years.
And would Kyle Van Noy be somewhat in that area? He's got a couple of Super Bowls.
Fred's been unbelievable. Best at his position.
All right.
What kind of performance would it take from Puka Nacua this season to be in the conversation with Fred Warner for BYU's best NFL player?
Here's what Fred does. He does everything all the time, year after year. He's so consistent. That's where Puka's got to go. You just got to be consistent. Wowed everybody last year. Cooper Kupp's going to be back healthy this year. So that is either good for Puka because Cooper's still going to get double teamed, or maybe not so good for Puka because he's not going to see as many passes.
Okay.
So there's that element to deal with. But be consistent. Do what you did last year over and over and over.
Yeah.
And then you join the conversation of a guy who does it over and over and over, and that's Fred Warner.
There's nothing that Puka Nacua can do in one season to get on par with Fred Warner. To your point, it's going to take like 4 or 5 seasons of being an all-pro.
Yeah.
That's where Fred is. Like, he's
and been that's the, fair to Fred, and it's fair to Puka.
Yeah, Fred is that's the dude. It's going to take 4 or 5 seasons of Puka being an all-pro before we can even like really broach that conversation.
And just imagine how good Fred's going to be in 2 or 3 more years.
Go. After the break, BYU TV football analyst and former NFL linebacker, speaking of Fred Warner, David Nixon joins us live. What's his hottest take for BYU football as they approach year 2 in Big 12 play? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Football being picked to finish 13th, why not go shock some people?
Just a number, baby.
When the media votes, they don't know what we know. The intrinsic motivation has been unbelievable because the guys know the sense of urgency. They know what's coming up. I'm excited, and I just can't wait till the season already.
Quite a statement from Kalani Sitake. They don't know what we know, speaking of the media, and then he used the phrase intrinsic motivation, said it's been unbelievable. 3 months, they've heard how bad they're going to be, Dave. We'll see what kind of a chip on the shoulder that BYU collectively brings in. Welcome back to the show. We are live in Studio B. If one Dave on the show is good, why not bring in another Dave?
We always, the world's running out of Daves, and so anytime we can get multiple Daves together, I'm all for it.
He is David Nixon. It's been a long time. D. Nix, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation.
It's been too long. This feels right. I feel at home with you guys. Always fun. Hey, we're talking football. Yes. We're not talking months out of advance. We're here. Football season is here. You can smell in the air, and finally we get to chat about meaningful type football as we roll up here to 2 days.
Now, Nix, you played on good high school teams down there in College Station, and you played on good BYU teams. You got in the NFL and had some different experiences. So then you're in a perfect spot to answer this question. When people tell you that you're not going to be very good as a team, what is the real motivation there? Even at the NFL level, is it something that gets average players to play better and good players to play great, or what's the impact?
100%. I love that soundbite by Kalani where he said we're ready to go. They're excited to get to this season because of how people kind of written off this BYU team. And in fact, I like the fact that when the watchers viewers reached out and mentioned that they think this year's team will be similar to the BYU basketball team this last season, where people were sleeping on them. Listen, I'm in the same boat. I think this football team, you look at this, the 22 starters, and you really only have two guys that are new to the program, Jack Kelly, Marquis Calls. I mean, these are, other than that, you've got guys that have been around the program, have been around the coaching staff, and they understand kind of the philosophy and what Kalani is trying to achieve here. I love this team. And I think, you know, we talk about one more year of experience, one more year of being around the program, the continuity that comes with that, man, I think it's going to pay dividends this year, especially when you're coming off that heartbreaking season last year. We were so close to winning some of those games, a la Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. You learn from those mistakes, and that's something that you dwell on the whole offseason. It's something you practice and try to get better at, is competing. And not only competing for three quarters, but competing to the end. And that's where they lacked in a few of those losses. And so I'm excited for this team. Listen, who cares about the preseason polls? I will say this. We never paid attention to them. We couldn't care less about the preseason polls and where they have you. Just go out there and take care of business. And I think that's what Kalani was trying to convey in that message, is, hey, the season's about here, and we're just going to go out and do our thing. And I think that's the mentality, kind of a head-down mentality, come together as a team and play for each other. Who cares about the media?
David Nixon is on BYU Sports Nation. We've been discussing hot takes for BYU football and presented a number of scenarios, David. But our question of the day is, what is your hot take on BYU football that most would believe is hot, but you inside don't really think it's that hot? So what is it for you? What are you willing to go out on a limb and say BYU football will or will not do that you don't think is that piping hot, but everyone else is like, whoa, dude, settle down.
Yeah. Listen, based off of last year, I think this team, it's achievable to get the eight wins.
Whoa.
And I know that's basically double what Vegas has put out there. But I think this team has it in them. I'm telling you that when you look at the 22, I just mentioned this, when you look at the 22, only two guys are new to the program. The fact that all the other 20 guys have been around, you look at the two deep, I think it's only four or five that are new to the program, whether it be transfers or freshmen. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have been around, and I love that aspect. You have a kind of senior, more veteran type program roster. And so for me, I think that that's going to pay dividends here this year. So I'd say that's my hot take. We'll see if it comes to fruition. At the end of the day, it's all about protecting your home field. And if you want to go out there and protect the home field and pick up some games on the road, the path to eight is achievable.
One thing we're seeing in this quarterback battle, which will resume next Tuesday when the guys report for fall camp, is that Gary Bohannon has gotten stronger and better and more comfortable all summer long. We've heard it from the players working out with him. We've heard it from the coaches, the quarterback coaches. There's John Beck, who's been working with him. Blaine went over and watched him. If he is fully healthy, meaning that shoulder surgery that kept him out last year is done and behind him, at 6'3 and 235, an outstanding runner, and if he's throwing on target, what does that do for BYU's chances? Can he win that starting job? And I believe he can. But what does it do for their chances going into a conference that he has already won when he was Baylor's quarterback a few years ago?
So it definitely doesn't hurt. I will say this. I think players, they recognize who that guy is, right? And they're going to gravitate toward that, whoever that starting quarterback is. And they're going to rally behind that quarterback, whether it's Jake or Gary. So for me, it's, coaches will realize pretty quickly here in fall camp, the first week or so, week or two, of who the guys are behind, right? Who thinks the player-wise, who gives the best shot at quarterback position for the players to go out there and feel confident in winning and performing? And then coaches have to make that decision. So, it's great news. You always love competition. You love the fact that, you know, neither Jake or Gary can kind of relax because they know the other one's pushing them. And I mean, that's, going back to the NFL days, that's what it was all about. You always had guys competing, and then even guys that weren't on the team. I share stories about, we'd be walking out to practice, and I look outside, and they're working out three or four linebackers, and nobody's even hurt. They're just working out guys to make sure that if you slip up one day, you're gone, and they're bringing the next guy in. They just have guys on the back burner waiting for you. And so I love that mentality. It wasn't great as a player, but you had to do it as a program. And I think that it applies to BYU, and the fact that you've got a lot of guys, you look at that too deep, especially the quarterback position. You got a lot of experience from Gary. Look at Jake. Jake's learned a lot in this offseason. Going, you know, if you watched the film from last year, his mistakes. So I think those two will push each other. And hopefully it's a healthy battle. You don't want there to be some dissension between the two and going at each other. But hopefully they push each other. And I mean, if there's anything that's taught us with BYU in the last decade, is you better have two healthy quarterbacks.
David Nixon on BYU Sports Nation. I know you are a man who took great pride in protecting Lavelle Edwards Stadium. David, correct me if I'm wrong. You never lost a home game as a BYU football player when you were a starter, correct?
Post-mission, yep, 06, 07, 08. 03, we'll kind of, I try not to think about 03.
We'll give you that. Exclude the pre-mission thing. But when you were like a legitimate participant and were playing as a starter, you never lost a home game. We were talking earlier about BYU posting a winning record at home. The Cougars have four teams that received at least one first-place vote in the Big 12 preseason media poll, all playing in Provo. So what is a fair and realistic expectation for BYU on their home field this season?
So you look down the roster of the home game. Southern Illinois, I think BYU should take care of that game. KSU's second, I think, in the polls, right behind Utah. Arizona's pretty prolific. That's going to be a tough game. Oklahoma State, Kansas, Houston. I think, you know, I'd love to see at least 4-2 in there. I think you split those and go 3-3. And then next thing you know, you go to your away games and you've got SMU. You picked that one up on the road as well as Wyoming. So now you're 5 wins. And then, you know, you go to UCF, that's 6. And then you pick up an ASU 7. And then Utah and Baylor in swing games. On the road, that's what I'm saying. I think there's a path to 8 here. I think a lot of it requires the BYU team staying healthy. I mean, that's always the name of the game, right? But I think that it's plausible. And I know it's a hot take. I know Vegas has them at 4.5. I get it. And they didn't perform great last year. I know they lost, in the season on the losing streak. But that's all been motivation for this team moving forward. And I think one more year under – just Kalani's reign and Jay Hill and the defense. I mean, I think all of that comes together. They're starting to get their guys in there. I think this all comes together pretty well. And I like the position where you're kind of sleepers, you're underdogs, and you just go out there and perform. You go out there and do your game and do your assignments and play your ball. And I think you'll be shocked. I think BYU pulled off some upsets here that nobody expected.
That's our exact approach to After Further Review, which starts its 11th season a week from tomorrow, so next Tuesday. What do you want folks to learn from that show?
I think, these first few shows in the year, just getting to know the players and who to expect to see rolling out there in that first game against Southern Illinois. Who are the guys you're going to be seeing? And frankly, as I mentioned, it's going to be a lot of similar guys, but finally healthy. You look at it, it was just a revolving door last year on the defense, offense as well. Finally, everybody's healthy and everybody's headed to the season. And so I'm excited to kind of showcase all those players that they got some playing time, whether it's a lot or a little. But like I said, all of them are familiar with the program and back at it. So these first 2 weeks of AFR, it's first of all, it's just football. We love talking football, especially in July. But second of all, just getting to see some of these familiar faces and what to expect in the upcoming season.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
David Nixon, great to talk to you, my friend. If you want to know the path to 8 wins for BYU, he just laid it out. You can go back and he'll do it again on demand.
I like that path.
Hey, we'll see you on After Further Review and talk to you again soon, brother.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Up next, after the break, our elite voice of the day. And he's feeling elite because he picked up a pretty hefty paycheck over the weekend. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Our question of the day is, what is your take about BYU football that most consider hot, but you really don't? At Jason Big Max on X says, 5 wins at home.
Nice.
I consider that hot. You're right. I do consider that hot. Oliver underscore Olson on X says, BYU will start the season 5-0 and go 2-1 through Oklahoma State, UCF, and Utah stretch and make a good bowl game.
That's hot.
That is melt your face off hot, Dave.
But I like it.
Whoa.
I like it.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from SC Gibbs 13 on X, who says, no position group got worse from last year. Interesting. Now, is that hot? And BYU had some rough position groups last year because of injuries and different circumstances.
Think of the receiver core, them healthy, as maybe as deep as they've been in program history. Quarterback, they got to be in a better spot there. O-line we know is better. D-line we know is better.
Yeah.
Just start going through. He's on to something.
I don't know that that's that hot because there was a lot of room for improvement there. So I like that. Okay. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Patrick Fishburne, finishing sixth in his most recent PGA Tour event, earned himself a cool $276,000.
Nice. It's a good weekend.
It's a great weekend, right?
Good job, Fishburne.
Our thanks to today's guests, former BYU and NFL linebacker David Nixon and Arizona head coach Brent Brennan for Big 12 Media Days.
Conversation continues on all our social media platforms.
For Dave, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Blaine Fowler. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.